Hey friend, welcome to Rise and Shine with Emily C. I'm your host. This podcast is all about rising from the ashes of your past trauma so that you can step into motherhood with a fierceness and confidence you didn't know was possible and become a generational game changer. I'm so excited that you've decided to include me on your journey. Together, we're going to rise and shine. Let's go. Hello, hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Rise and Shine with Emily C. I am so excited that you have taken some time out of your busy day to tune in and listen to this episode. I'm really excited today to have a special guest joining us. Her name is Terry, and she is a certified life coach, blogger, and an author of, and the author, not an author. She's an author, but she's the author of Raven Transcending Fear. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you very much, Emily. I'm happy to be here with your audience today.
Oh, well, it's so nice to have you. So let's get started. If you could just give us a little bit of insight into your story and what led you to be here.
My story started a long time ago as a child of trauma. Mm-hmm. I was sexually molested at the age of 11. Mm-hmm. And my mother allowed it to occur because she got drugs. In her mind, it was free drugs so that these three men could molest me when I was 11. So that's started my trauma story, that started the journey that I was taking on recovery of how to deal with family patterns of behavior that my mm-hmm. mother had started to instill in my sister and I, and then overcoming that emotional, physical trauma, plus the abandonment that my mother did all in that one fateful visit when I was 11 years old.
Wow. So what has your journey looked like as far as healing goes?
The healing journey is one of time. And mm-hmm. one of the things that happens for many people on their healing path is they start out with asking the wrong question. And the wrong question is, why me? Mm-hmm. The why question is something that plagues all trauma sufferers, all trauma survivors. That why question is what keeps us from actually going down the healing path. Because the why question focuses us on the past. It focuses us on the trauma. It focuses us on those things that we can no longer change. We could not prevent. And instead of accepting what happened, this mm-hmm. bad thing happened to me. Mm-hmm. The question to ask is, now what? Mm-hmm. And the next question is how you start that healing journey, how you go start and maneuver down that path to discover ways to heal yourself.
I love that. I love that. I agree wholeheartedly. For so long, I was asking the why me question, and the why me question led my brain to find reasons why me.
Correct. Absolutely. And that part of you, your brain mm-hmm. that you're referring to, is what I call the egoic mind. Mm-hmm. It is the part of us that wants us to survive. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it needs to understand what happened, why it happened, so it doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. The problem with this is that it is something that wants to keep you from growing. It wants to keep mm-hmm. you from changing. It wants everything to stay the same. So it doesn't want you to step out of your comfort zone and try new things and overcome and mm-hmm. continue on. It wants you to stay in mm-hmm. a safety of being alone, which by the way, is really bad for you. Mm-hmm. And as well as understanding that if you stay, keep your world small, If you live a small life, if you live an ordinary life, then nothing bad is going to happen. But guess what?
Nothing good's going to happen either.
It's lying to you, because bad things still happen because you are still focused on the past. You are still focused on the why me. You're still looking for blame and looking for reasons for why you messed up. And for most trauma sufferers, it's not anything they did.
No,
I didn't do anything to provoke what happened to me. So I knew at a young age that it wasn't my fault, but that didn't keep me from having the shame of being traumatized. And part of that comes, it's a secret, don't tell anybody. And my trauma occurred in the early 80s, and it was not even something anybody talked about. It wasn't until the late 80s where Oprah Winfrey came out as being a child that was molested when she was younger. She was the first person on the planet that I was aware of that suffered the same thing I did. And that was in the late 80s when she came out with that, with her story. So for a lot of people, that suffering in silence causes more trauma and causes that secrecy. And the moment that somebody else tells you their story, or the moment that you hear you're not alone, that somebody else really does understand what you've been through, because we all go through similar experiences. Your trauma may not be the same as my trauma, and I hope it's not. I hope nobody has the trauma like I had. But at the same time, people understand trauma. People understand being in pain. People understand internal suffering. And one of the first things we have to do is change the question that we ask from why me to now what. And the second thing we need to do is realize that if we share our story, it's part of the healing process.
Oh boy, is it ever. Is it ever? There is nothing more empowering than sharing your story, not to blame someone, but just to get it out. Just to get it out.
Absolutely. And sometimes that first time can be in a journal or you know, just praying. I know that God and I had lots of struggles after this occurred. I had lots of fights. I don't think I won any of them, but I do know that I argued at great lengths because I had to find a way to express what I was feeling, because I was taught stuff those things. And that's what my mother did. She was an alcoholic and drug addict. So she stuffed her emotions. She did. And if something bubbled to the surface, it was always anger. It was always blame. It was always resentment. And for some reason, most of people in society, when they see that, they get turned off. But for me, I realized, oh, that person's in pain. Anger in public is somebody suffering internally. And although there may not be silent because their anger is being expressed, really and truly, you need to find out what it is that's causing them to suffer internally.
So changing your question from why me to what now and sharing your story are two very, very, very important steps that you can take. How did you overcome the fear of sharing your story?
For some reason, I never had fear in sharing my story. So all of my trauma occurred when I was 11, but I was also a very aware child. So when I got off the airplane, when I returned home from this fateful trip, I immediately walked up to my dad. And first thing I said to him was, I need therapy. I'm 11. So again, this is something that I think I was just very aware of, that this was more than I could handle. I didn't quite know what this was, because I didn't have, back in the, when this occurred, sex was not talked about to children under the age of 12 or 13. So I didn't know what sex was. So I'm not quite sure exactly. I didn't have the language to tell somebody what happened to me. But when I did is when the came in. because then I understood what happened. And the shame wasn't put upon me by outside forces. It was my ego trying to protect me. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we all struggle with, is that we want, our ego's job is function is for, but it's meant to function as a form of life and death survival, mm-hmm. not along the lines is that person's going to say something nasty about me in the meeting. That is not what the ego is trying to protect you from, but that because our lifestyle has changed so dramatically, we're not in the woods picking berries and a bear's coming upon us that we have to then, our ego is going to take over. It's about making sure that our mindset becomes one of being present and being in the here and now, so that when something traumatic does happen, that mm-hmm. we are responding instead of reacting. The ego likes to react to things. You know, mm-hmm. when people react to anything bad that's happening, it is not normally the best solution. They're just reacting. People get mm-hmm. emotional and they react versus pausing mm-hmm. just for a second, take a deep breath in and out. That is enough time for you to reconnect with your soulful self to say, okay, what is happening and what should I do next? And when you take that pause, instead of reacting, you're now consciously responding mm-hmm. from a place that is calmer versus the ego's first reaction. Because mm-hmm. sometimes that gut reaction isn't your ego. The gut reaction is, I paused for a second to listen to what my gut said instead of reacting with what my mind and my ego says.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I tell my clients, it's almost like we have to trick your ego into following along because it doesn't want anything to do with change. It wants to keep things the same and keep you in survival mode. And you don't thrive in survival mode.
Correct. Interestingly enough, it's not, my trauma occurred at a young formative age, and the rape occurred by 3 Hispanic men. So all my life, I have had an automatic angst seeing, especially 3 Hispanic men together, because my ego is immediately triggered. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be triggered. Mm-hmm. That maybe after all these decades, it wouldn't be triggered. It still is triggered because it's what it learned. This is mm-hmm. the scariest, most horrific thing that ever happened to me. Why would my ego forget it? It's not supposed to. It's embedded. So mm-hmm. what I do when the ego says, watch out, there are 3 Hispanic men walking towards you, I can remind my ego, thank you for pointing that out to me, because you do need to acknowledge that mm-hmm. your ego is speaking to you, because sometimes it may tell you something important. Mm-hmm. So you want to acknowledge what it says. So thank you for letting me know, but I've had more positive experiences than negative experiences with Hispanic men. Mm-hmm. Therefore, your concern can be dismissed, and it literally will melt away. But it's being able to confront that, whatever that angst is that you immediately fear. Mm-hmm. Because when you do, and it's really not even about being rational, although my instance, it is rational. I've worked with Hispanic men. They're extremely loving individuals. So there, I have no angst with Hispanic men as a general population. My ego still does. And it's understandable.
Mm-hmm. 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 Wow. So how have these 2 steps progressed even further for you?
For me, it ended up over years that I realized that I spent a lot of time doing things that were defense mechanisms to mm-hmm. protect me. And we don't, and a lot of it was family patterns of behaviors that we don't realize we've picked up. Mm. So I have a core belief that we all come to Earth school as wholly, authentically ourselves, knowing who mm-hmm. we are, knowing what we're supposed to do, knowing that we have a purpose, knowing that we are good enough just as we are, that we don't mm-hmm. have to change. But then we enter the first unknown, which is our family unit. And in that family unit, whether you've had a fabulous family growing up, or one like mine that was partly good and partly not so good. We all have patterns of behaviors that we picked up that were passed on to us from our parents and our grandparents or our aunts and uncles. Things that were said, mm-hmm. things that beliefs that were passed on because that's how we've always done it. Mm-hmm. We've always gone to this Roman Catholic church, or we've always gone to this non-denominational church, whatever it was that your family brought you up to believe. Mm-hmm. At some point you have to ask yourself, do I really believe that? Or is it something that's always been there because my family said this was the right way? Did I ever question, was this right for me? Mm. And I think that a lot of us come to a place, what most people consider midlife crisis is really to me when somebody is awakening to, wait a second, that's not who I authentically am. And mm-hmm. so they do something dramatic, something drastic to reconnect with who they authentically are. And for me, the journey through my healing was really a journey through rediscovering who I mm-hmm. was authentically am at the core of my being. Because mm-hmm. during the trauma, during that healing process, the ego takes on masks and roles and armor to keep us from being hurt again, to keep us from authentically connecting with others, to keep us so that we feel small. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, when we take off the masks, when we take off the armor, when we become authentic and we truly connect with another individual and they see our internal light, they see our internal soul, we are able to not only heal ourselves, but heal others around us. Because that's where real healing comes from, is that those authentic connections where I can say, Emily, I feel your mm-hmm. pain. I know exactly, mm-hmm. I completely understand what that feels like. Let me help you. I'm on the other side of that pain. I can mm-hmm. help you. Let me help you. This is some of the things I've done that was able to help me.
Wow. So to the mama that is listening, who is just beginning her journey, she's realizing that her life could be better, could be different. She could show up differently for her little ones. But she's not sure where to start. Listening to this episode is a good first step. What would be her next step?
There are several next, one of them. She needs to find her tribe, those people mm-hmm. of like minds. And whether it's through your podcast or my podcast, The Soul Solutions, mm-hmm. Reading my book, Raven Transcending Fear, those things are simple things that she can do on her own. But the one thing that will ultimately change how she shows up every single day in her life is to reconnect with her soulful self. Mm. And she can do that in one of variety of ways, whatever works best for her. If you are a writer, sometimes journaling is the best way to do that. If mm-hmm. you are somebody who has constant egoic chatter in your head, then maybe prayer or meditation is the way to do that. So there are different ways, but the reality is you have to get quiet, because the ego is very loud and obnoxious, and it rants and raves and screams and becomes very loud, and you can't hear the whispers of your soulful self. And only when you get quiet in that silence, reconnect with that soulful side of yourself that has all the answers you will ever need to all the questions you will ever ask. You already have those answers. That's your internal wisdom. We look to the internet for our answers, but the reality is our soul is connected to the infinitesimal wisdom of the universe. And all mm-hmm. we have to do is get quiet and tap into that. Mm-hmm. And when you are able to do that, and you can, all of us can do it every single day, a really simple trick for those people that have egoic chatter like crazy: take 3 deep breaths to the count of 5. So inhale 5, hold for a count of 5, exhale for a count of 5. Do that 3 times. You physically and metabolically calm down. Your autonomic nervous system kicks in. mm-hmm. and you actually lower your blood pressure, lower your breathing rate, and you calm down. Mm-hmm. That allows you then to immediately access that silence and that inner wisdom, because your brain can't work when you're doing those deep breathing techniques. So when you make that connection and you start listening to the soulful whispers of your heart, you find out how to show up in a loving way instead of a fearful, egoic way. And everybody showing up in a loving and responding with love in their everyday interactions, because little ones throwing a temper tantrum can be
triggering.
Triggering, whatever word you want to use. But at the same time, how you respond to that is very vital for that toddler's growth. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is, if you rant and rave, that toddler is going to learn showing how I feel is wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's not what any mother wants to teach their child. Mm-hmm. What you want to be able to do is stay calm and say, I don't understand what you know. Can you please try to use your, or can you please show me? Take my hand, we'll fix it together. And that way that child learns somebody is hearing me. Somebody mm-hmm. is aware that I am upset. And it can be about something really silly, but at the same time, you're teaching that child how to respond properly mm-hmm. instead of saying, hush, you need to be a good boy. You need to be a good girl. We're all good boys and good girls.
Mm-hmm.
And our behavior is not part of our intrinsic value. Our behavior isn't what makes us enough to be loved. We're already enough the second that we are born to be loved. And we need to maintain and keep teaching our children that they are whole people. They don't need to change who they authentically are, because it doesn't coincide with what our current belief about who they should be. Keep in mind that children are given to us as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
They're given to us to help us see ourselves, not for us to grow up many versions of ourselves. God forbid there's another one of me roaming around the world. You know, I want my children to be their own individualistic selves. I want my grandchildren to be their own selves. But they have that from us adults, that who they are is enough, that they are worthy. Not they behave or don't behave the way we feel they should, or way society conforms. God forbid they conform to society. Yeah. yes, there are laws and rules that we need to follow, but don't conform. The ego wants you to conform to keep you small, but you were born, Emily, to be a unique individual being. Nobody on the planet is like Emily. And because of that, you are completely worthy and enough just as you are. And anybody trying to change you is trying to get you to conform to what they think you should be. And that's never the right thing for any of us, to conform to something what others think we should be. We need to be who we were the day we were born, that authentic person who has a soulful purpose and knows what we're supposed to do in this world.
Wow. Thank you so much for that those life speaking words. Do you have anything that you would like to offer our listeners today?
Yes, I have, to help people overcome their fears and limiting beliefs. I have a blueprint that is a prequel to my book, Raven Transcending Fear. It's the steps outlined in the book that shows you how you can each day take a step to overcome your fears and limiting beliefs.
Awesome. So we will link that, as well as a link to Terry's book, on the show notes of this episode. You can check the link in the description of this episode and find everything you need, as well as links to Terry's social media, so you can connect with her directly. Thank you so much for joining me today, Terry. It has been a pleasure, and I look forward to working together again in the future.
Thank you very much, Emily, for having me on the show. I appreciated your time.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Rise and Shine with Emily C. Before you go, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the podcast so you get notified when new episodes go live every week.